One game week down, and the message is simply don't panic. We analyse Chelsea's readiness, hover over Haaland transfers, and debate a rather tricky week for the captaincy. So we have lift off the FPL and Premier League season is underway. Game week one has been and gone. I think I'm just about feeling all right about it. Kelly Summers back with you alongside the usual FPL pod team of Sam Bonfield and Julian Neron. So firstly, Sam, your review of your first game week, are you happy? Are we ever happy? Actually, stupid question. We're never really happy, are we?
Unless I'd hit 100 club, I don't think I would have been happy. To be honest, Kels, I was so happy on Friday and Saturday. And I was like, yes, this is all going so well. Until Manchester City, because I'd taken out Reinders just ahead of the deadline. And I'm so frustrated with myself. This is why you shouldn't listen to other people and let them get in your head, because I'd had a number of conversations on Friday.
Have I not taught you that?
I know. The worst thing about it was the person I listened to has got Reinders in his team. And I was just like, are you joking? I was just like, I felt like it was a bit risky having a couple of Man City assets. Plus, we'd heard obviously that Rodri had travelled, and I was a bit like, oh, I don't really know what this means for Manchester City. And then I fancied having somebody in the Monday night game, because, you know, it's always nice to have somebody in the Monday night game. Gives you hope if everything else has gone terribly over the course of the weekend. So I went for Jewsbury Hall instead. But actually, you know, on reflection, Friday and Saturday were decent. The Kudus pick obviously coming in trumps, and that made me very happy, as did Van de Ven. So I ended up on 55. I think as it goes, I'm relatively happy. I think you can't win FPL in game week one, right? So let's just be not too far behind. That's kind of the way I look at it. And yeah, I think I'm all right.
So you got 55, I got 54, which is exactly average. So you're just above average. That's good
above
news.
Average.
And Jules, I think you were a point behind us, weren't you? Oh no, sorry. You're 5 points behind. Yeah, already trailing 49. Behind. 49. How was your game week?
I was not happy. I knew Haaland would score. I knew I should have got Haaland. And as you know, I debated very, very late before the deadline about getting the draft with Haaland and Salah in it. And yes, the rest would have been not as good as the team that I had in for game week one without Haaland, because obviously I had much more money to invest for Bukayo Saka, for example, that ended up being there instead of Bruno Fernandes and people like that. But in the end, I don't know what happened, because usually, you know me, I go for how I feel it. And this time I didn't. And I was so gutted, Kels.
I was surprised when I looked at your team.
I was so gutted, because in the end, and it's one of those game weeks where Watkins blanks and Saka and Palmer and João Pedro and the players that you would expect to score, to return, don't do it. So it's fine. They're still very good players. It was just not happening for me. But yeah, the Haaland one, I was really gutted, I promise you, because I knew it would do well. And I knew Reinders would do well, and it did well. So that kind of made me a little bit happier on Saturday evening. But overall, I think 49 is just not really good enough.
Do you know the reason I love the weekend? It's because it felt like FPL was really back. We spent that whole Friday night game with Liverpool, like 2 goals, nothing for Mo Salah, 3 goals, nothing for Mo Salah. Right at the death, he's like, don't worry, guys, I've sorted you out. So yeah, that was a good captaincy for the 363,000. No, I can't read numbers. New season, nothing's changed. Yeah, 3 million.
Oh, 3 million. That's a bit more than 300,000.
That's what I thought. I thought there's too many numbers in that for that to be 300,000. 3 million. And it didn't sound enough either. 3,635,092 managers who gave him the armband. Then, of course, there was good news for Erling Haaland, Chris Wood, Richarlison, someone that we didn't really speak about at all in pre-season. And we had some clean sheets for some of the reliable teams. Newcastle, hold on, does it say Spurs? Probably not reliable. Sunderland, Manchester City, Chelsea, Palace and Arsenal. But there was bad news if you owned Konza. We'll just gloss over that, Jules, because I don't think you even mentioned that, did you?
To be fair, it still got me 3 points, which is a lot more than a lot of other defenders. You mentioned the clean sheets, and for them it was at least 6 points. But with a red card, to still have 3 points, that's pretty decent, to be fair. Now I'm gutted because he's out for 3 games.
Sam, if he'd have gone off before the 60th minute, if he'd have been sent off, so he got sent off on 65 minutes, if he'd have been sent off on 59 minutes, he would have got way less, but he would have ended up on minus, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he'd have got minus two for the two that he got, so he'd have got naught.
Naught, yeah, because he got the four points. The reason he still ended up with three was he got 2 points for the 65 minutes played, 4 points because of the clean sheet. And that's because he got over 60 minutes. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, six minus three. So yeah, you got really lucky 6 minutes earlier with that red card. And actually, it could have been a lot worse. Just very quickly before we do move on, I just actually, you've talked about some of your highlights. I think it's really interesting, and I probably should have done this at the beginning. Sam, just run through the team that you did settle on, just so that everyone knows, just so we can see how many changes there were.
It actually didn't change that much since the pod on Thursday.
No. You were quite settled, weren't you? Surprising, like you were what, a couple of players out?
Yeah. I was very calm. I was making decisions between a couple of players. So I had Seld in goal with Dubravka on the bench, as everyone did. In fact, the double Forest defence is something I didn't mention. That was incredibly infuriating because it looked so good until that penalty. And then the defensive back line of Van de Ven, Aitnori, Murillo and Rinaldo. And the midfield five, Salah, Palmer, Kudus, Verts, and then Dewsbury Hall. Oh, I'm still cross with myself, but I wanted the 0.5 in the bank. And then I stuck with Mateta, Watkins and Guiu on the bench.
Jules, who did you go with?
So I went Kelleher in goal. Then I had Diouf instead of Wan-Bissaka, just because I wanted to be smart. Van de Ven, Konsa, my best friend. Salah, Palmer, Reinders, Wirtz and Saka in midfield, which I thought was a stellar midfield. And in the end, the only two players returned, which is ridiculous. And then João Pedro, Watkins up front, and the bench with Renildo, Dubravka, Esteve and Mark Guiu.
Okay, and I ended up with Sanchez, Williams, Porro, Diouf, Rodgers, Wirtz, Palmer, Salah, Reinders up front, João Pedro and Watkins, and on my bench, Dubravka, Anderson, Esteve and Guiu. So yeah, I'm worried about not having Saka this week. I'm annoyed that I've gone double Villa from having watched them against Newcastle. And just a couple of the little decisions I made as well, like even going Esteve over Ronaldo, like I'm just annoyed about that. I think Ronaldo is going to be the one to have at that price point. But it's the gamble, it's the luck of the draw at the beginning of the season, isn't it? Okay, then let's check in on the FPL Pod Mini League. Enjoy it if you are top, because I'm not saying you won't stay top, but obviously it's just one game week. It's like Sam being top of our Mini League. She's not going to stay there, is she? So seven of the top managers in our Mini League used a chip this week, which is really interesting. Three of them used the bench boost. The other four, including the leader, played the triple captain. I think people are changing their tact a little bit now. We have double chips, of course, across the course of the season. Stuart McGarry is top, 95 points for the game week. What a start that is. He triple captain Salah, so must have been incredibly relieved for his last minute goal against Bournemouth. He also had Van de Ven and Hume both keeping clean sheets. Aynor got DEFCON points and Ballard picked up a staggering 17 pointer. That is some leap of faith going with him in game week one. Stuart also had Haaland, Ekitike and Kudus just 1 point behind him. There's three players locked on the same number of points. Phil Kay, Paul Brown and Benjamin Olsen. Paul and Ben both used the bench boost chip while Phil got 94 and he got no chips. So that was just his starting 11. If you haven't yet joined, the code is XY6XPL. Okay then. I think this is one of the most important messages we'll give all season, because there will be a lot of managers who will be panicking after game week one. Perhaps you've looked at the average score and thought, whoa, I'm way below that. Perhaps you've thought, oh my goodness, I don't have anyone that returned. Perhaps you're just panicking. Sam, what do you do at this point? Because there is 37 game weeks to go and it could feel very long.
It could feel very long, but also I'd say don't panic. I think that is the overriding message. Like you said when you were talking about Esteve and Ronaldo, that it's so hard to know going into the season which players are going to necessarily be the right ones, because preseason form tells us a lot, but it doesn't always give us the full story and the full insight, because they're playing very different teams to the ones that they're going to play week in, week out in the Premier League. Plus, some people start the season with a relatively easy fixture, some people start the season with a really, really difficult one. And so what happens in game week one isn't always reflective of then what we see in game week two. So I think patience is really, really important. If you feel like everything is wrong, like for some reason you've picked a team that you hate every single one of them, then it's not the end of the world to go with a wild card early. But my advice would be just wait another week, because what you see in game week two will give you a lot more insight and it will allow you then to react to what we're seeing and have a little bit of form to go on with 2 weeks rather than just the one.
Yeah, I totally agree, because Sam Frozen, oh my God, for a minute then. By the way, I'm just going to let listeners or viewers in. You can probably see that Sam isn't in our usual backdrop. Where are you, Sam?
I'm in Spain.
Very nice. But yeah, it did just worry me a bit when you froze. I was like, uh-oh, but she's still with us.
I'm here.
Of course she is. Would you take, Jules, looking at your team, I don't know, we'll come on to your transfers very shortly, but if we all, I think, want to make moves in game week one, but the thing that comes into my mind is the fact that it's quite nice to bank transfers and to build them up, particularly now we've got five. And the changes that I think I would like to make, potentially I'm thinking maybe I will need Haaland, maybe I will want to go to Saka. I might need to tinker around in a few positions. And to do that at this stage, I would have to take a points hit. It feels very early to do that, doesn't it?
Yeah, too early. Don't do that. You will have a one free transfer like all of us for game week two. If you need to do something like me with Konsa, because Konsa's three game ban is... it's too long.
Are you going to do something with him? You're not going to just bench him?
Yeah. So I'm going to move to replace him. But if you don't need to do something like that, or if you have Konsa and you would be happy for him on your bench for three games, no problem. Keep your free transfer a little bit longer. But like you said, Kez, you might need two to do the one big transfer that you want. The other thing I would say is, surely the players that you trusted for game week one haven't become bad players. It's just that game week one, for whatever reason, didn't happen for them. Wirtz needs a bit more time clearly to adapt to the way this Liverpool team is playing. Saka away at United with Arsenal, not in the flow that they usually have, but they've got Leeds at home. So again, you can keep him for that game, certainly at least that one. And then for all of them, even the Chelsea boys, we mentioned that they were not ready physically because of the Club World Cup, and they restarted training much later than everybody else in that league, especially Palace. So they were never going to be match fit enough to be able, I think, to do well against Palace, and a draw is the best they could have hoped. I think they were not very good, but they're going to get better as time goes by. So if you've got Palmer or Joao Pedro or even one of the defenders, they will get better. You just need a bit of time. So I don't think you should throw everything in the bin after game week one. There's just circumstances that are normal when it's so early in the season.
I'm annoyed that I did triple up on Chelsea. I mean, we knew they weren't going to be fit and firing, but I went for Sanchez because I wanted Chelsea defensive cover. I'm not annoyed about that. But really, I feel a bit silly for going Pedro and Palmer. And that's probably me striking again in terms of just going with trends. Everyone seemed to have them. So I went there, really. But Sam, it's right, isn't it? Like, you can't be too, what's the word I'm looking for? It's early in the morning, so I can't think of my, too reactive to things. And the only other thing that panics me with these transfers is price falls.
So I think with Chelsea, I mean, they've got West Ham next, who looked awful on the opening day. So I wouldn't panic too much, because I think what we saw from Chelsea against a good Palace side, and Palace could easily have scored in that game. I mean, they did have the ball in the back of the net. So I think let's wait and see with Chelsea, and that's what I mean about time. I think the pricing is a frustration. So on Sunday, it became very clear that Ronaldo wasn't going to do anything. Reinders was going to go up in price. And I sat there for quite a long time on Sunday knowing that he was going to go up. I had the 0.5 in the bank. So it would have been very easy to do a straight swap over to Dewsbury Hall. But also I had Dewsbury Hall to play on Monday night. And having not watched Everton, I was in a place where I didn't really want to react to that too quickly. I wanted to give Everton time to watch the game. I'd gone with Dewsbury Hall for a reason, because I was expecting him to play in a very attacking position. So it made sense to just hold fire and see. Now, that has meant that obviously Reinders has taken a price rise. So now I'm going to be in a place where I'd have to sell another player in order to get him. But I'm also aware that it's Spurs in game week two. And so I didn't necessarily feel that I wanted to jump on that bandwagon straight away, given that I've got a Spurs defender and I'm invested in Man City anyway. So I think you have to be mindful of the price rises and falls. You have to be careful that you don't get priced out of a player that you know you definitely want. But equally, at the same time, I think it's more important to try and avoid the price falls. Like with Konsa, I would expect at points over the next couple of weeks, as people realise he's out for 3 weeks, that they'll start to sell him. And that's the ones you've got to be careful of. I think avoiding the price drops at this point, get price rises if you can, but try and avoid those drops and pay careful attention to what's happening in the markets.
I mean, it's a bit late to give people this advice now, but is that why you kept 0.5 in the bank as well, Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
And that's what happened on Friday. That's why I did what I did with the Reinders thing, because I was a bit uneasy about having two potential risks at Man City with Ait Nouri and him anyway. But also, I just don't like not having any buffer, because I feel like if I want to upgrade somebody and they're going to rise, I need to be able to react. So 0.5 is always quite helpful in this early part of the season. Later, I don't worry about it. Just invest it all. But right now, I like to have a little bit.
The irony being, you tried to save 0.5 so you could wiggle around for Reinders, and now you're probably going to need that 0.5 to get Reinders.
I know. Well, I need 0.6 now to get him, because he's taken a price rise. So yeah, there is a lot of irony, and that doesn't go unnoticed by me, how ironic that whole conversation just was. But yeah, I mean, and I think there are other players that I'm looking at thinking, I'm not sure if I did the right thing there.
But also next week we could be a different player, couldn't it? It might be a different player that you want. And you, yeah,
absolutely.
So,
exactly.
And I think, you know, I'm looking at Watkins at the moment going, gosh, I wasn't very impressed with you, having been really impressed all season. But then also Brentford looked completely at sea defensively. So I would expect that Watkins and Rodgers and those sorts of players would have a good week this week, which is what I mean about being patient if you can. But it's very hard when the markets are fluctuating, because you do want to catch the rises and avoid the falls.
It also shows, that's why we often talk about fixture runs and we block them off, don't we? It's not just one fixture we talk about. It, particularly when you're building a team at the start of the season, we look pretty much up until the first international break, I would say, wouldn't you? Anyway, we've spoken about a few players already, a few frustrations, a few that we're pretty happy to own. But the ones that we like talking about the most, I think, are the attacking players. Although probably this preseason we spent most of it talking about defenders because of the introduction of DEFCON points. Let's focus in on some of the attacking players that perhaps we really had high hopes for, and after game week one we're wavering on a little bit. I mentioned Joao Pedro, then Sam's mentioned Ollie Watkins. Sam also went for Jean-Philippe Mateta in the end as well. We're all looking longingly, I think, at Erling Haaland, Chris Wood, Hugo Ekitike, thinking, oh, should we have gone there? Let's talk about Joao Pedro firstly, because heavily owned, Jules.
Yeah.
Chelsea, we've already discussed the problems that are there. What did you make of his game week one performance, and do you share those concerns?
Yeah, I do. My concern, but I've said it many times on like preview shows, is that the fitness issue for Chelsea, which is the same that you would see PSG, for example, or Bayern Munich, who went far in the Club World Cup, like Chelsea, and who started, they had holidays in between the end of the Club World Cup and the start of their preseason, and then only 10 days pretty much before the season started. So they just simply cannot be ready physically to play a league game, whether it's the Premier League, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, it doesn't matter so much. They're just behind everybody else pretty much in that league that trained before. So this is the worry I had before. I was on the radio on Sunday with our friend Steve Sidwell, who was like, yeah, Chelsea are going to be great and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure they will. but not today. Not today physically. I don't think they'd be possible. And I think Palace would be so much stronger physically that they will dominate that game. And that's exactly what happened. And it's not that Steve was wrong and I was right or anything like that. It's just, you know, that physically it's so important to be sharp and in good fitness.
For Pedro specifically, though, did he not look sharp for you? What did you see from him?
I thought Palmer was even worse than Pedro. Pedro has zero shot on target, like Cole Palmer. Pedro's XG is 0.3, I think. So he had that one kind of opportunity that could have done a bit better. But I thought Palmer looked leggy and sloppy and just a bit sluggish, which is normal because, again, the Chelsea games is about having that rhythm and that intensity and this running game with Neto, with Gittens, with Palmer, with Pedro, all of that. And they just didn't have that kind of energy, especially against a team like Palace that is so difficult to play against. I expect Chelsea to be better this weekend, for sure, and with an extra week of preparing and training and against an opposition that is not like Palace. But for that first game, I always knew it was tricky, but you could still have a penalty that Joao Pedro scores. And because he's owned by 65% of the game, if he scores that and you don't have him, it's going to hurt you. So we go back to the same thing as before. And it's not just the following the herd or be part of the herd. It's just that it's the case. If Pedro does well, he's going to hurt you if you don't have him.
I think that's the key point that Jules has just mentioned there. And we saw it with Salah, didn't we? One late goal completely shifts our thinking massively. It's very different when you're spending 14.5 million compared to 7.5 million, admittedly, Sam, but there is the ownership thing with Pedro. If you jump off too early, you're going to be in trouble. But going back to Jules's point there about looking sluggish and the fitness concerns, that's very different, isn't it, to one game week of a team that are just starting the season. How long are you going to be giving these Chelsea assets before you do have a bit of a tough decision to make?
I mean, I'm certainly giving game week two. I think game week two will be quite telling. I wasn't loving the Chelsea defence, to be honest, and I think they would be on my watch list for taking out if I had them. But then the fixtures are so nice. Like you said before, Kels, we picked these players because they had nice fixture runs and Chelsea's are really nice.
Can you just recap them, Sam? I haven't got them in front of me, but it would be good.
It's Fulham, Brentford, and then United, and then Brighton before Liverpool.
And obviously West Ham this week.
Yeah, West Ham, yeah.
So they're like good fixtures where they should get points. It's interesting how many London derbies Chelsea are having to start the season as well. They're not really travelling very far. That's also helpful given that what Jules was saying about coming back in, they're not having to go long distances up north or anything like that. So the fixtures are nice. So I think there's an element of patience. There is also an element that I've got Palmer in my team and I'm looking at Arsenal, who have got Leeds this week, and thinking, I don't have any Arsenal in my team. And that feels same. Horrible. And so I'm looking at Palmer and thinking, well, you know, Salah, all right, he left it late, but Salah returned. Palmer's the one that I've just spent 10 and a half million on. It's an easy move over to Saka. Watkins the same. It's an easy move over to Gyökeres. So I'm looking at my attacking players and thinking, I want to hold and I want to be patient because the fixture is really nice for them as well. But also if they don't perform against West Ham, I can see many managers moving Chelsea players out.
Yeah, I was so tempted and I had to kind of sit on my hands a little bit to stop myself going on my phone. I was so tempted to go Palmer to Saka because you remember our early drafts this season, I was like, it feels really weird not having Saka. It feels really weird not having Arsenal. Yeah. And I had Pedro and I'm annoyed with myself for that. But it goes back to the ownership thing, I think.
Just to finish on that, they play West Ham away. West Ham, after the heavy defeat away at Sunderland, they can't be at home for the first home game of the season in a derby against Chelsea and park the bus. So West Ham will somehow, and you know I'm not a fan of Graham Potter, I don't really like him.
Never mentioned it before.
No, you know.
It's new news.
It's new news. So they will have to do something at least, and I think that could be good for Chelsea if you own Palmer, if you own Pedro, if you own, I don't know, Neto, Caicedo, even one of the defenders like Kukurea, because I think there will be something there for Chelsea far more than against Palace, who we knew the organization, the setup, they're so good to play against because they're so well organized with a back five. I think this will be very different.
It's almost the perfect opportunity, isn't it? Because of the fixture that Chelsea have, to just hold, to be a little bit more patient. Perhaps if they were facing Liverpool this game week, we'd feel very different, for example. Mm. And it kind of feels like it's the same for Watkins, Sam, as well, because yes, it was really frustrating. I think we probably were all lured into the fact that Newcastle have had a bit of a sticky transfer window. We all expected them to be a lot worse than they were because they were pretty impressive against Aston Villa. Aside from not having a centre forward to convert the chances they created, they were good. And I think perhaps we were lured into thinking because of their problems, they're going to be really poor. And Ollie Watkins, Morgan Rodgers are going to have loads of opportunities. They didn't. But Watkins does face a Brentford side this week, where again, you can't sell him ahead of that, can you?
No, Brentford conceded 4 big chances. That was more than any other team in the league in game week one. Defensively, they looked all at sea. And to be honest, every time Forest came forward, they looked dangerous. So, and that, you know, that Forest attack, I'm not saying that they're not good. They are, but that Villa attack is, on paper, it's a lot more potent than the Forest one. So particularly in terms of like big hauls, like Chris Wood, we saw last season, it's like one goal, one goal, one goal, one goal usually. Whereas with Ollie Watkins and Morgan Rodgers, the potential upside of multiple returns feels really nice. So yeah, I mean, I think the other thing to say about Villa, of course, is that they were down to 10 men for a chunk of that game. And obviously when you go down to 10 men, you do change up the way that you play and maybe you're less attacking, you just hold what you have. So I'm not panicking on Ollie Watkins. I think we picked him and Morgan Rodgers based on what we saw last season, but also on what we've seen in pre-season and the fact that this fixture in particular is really nice. So I think we hold and then we just see, but it is so tempting to go, okay, well, I'll just move across, particularly when you've got two players in that same price point. Even if you've got Rodgers, like I can see why people will be looking at, say, a Declan Rice replacement because it frees up that 0.5 as well. And that 0.5 maybe then allows you to move to somebody else that you really want. So I think it's tempting. It really is. But for me, you set up your team in game week one, not just for game week one. So you try to hold and just give yourself as much clarity as you can.
It does feel like, though, if Watkins doesn't score soon, or regardless, say Haaland scores this weekend, we're all going to be moving things around in the next few weeks, aren't we, to go Watkins to Haaland, Jules? I know that that's already up your sleeve because you're so desperate to have him.
I was so good. I promise you, I watched that Man City game. I was fuming because I knew he would do well. But Watkins has Brentford, as we mentioned, Crystal Palace at home, which won't be easy, as we said, for because Palace is so good. Everton away in game week four as well. So the fixtures are decent to at least give your Aston Villa assets a chance. If after that they've still blanked both Rodgers, Watkins, you know, whoever you have, I don't know, McGinn, Guesson, the new signing, I don't know, whoever you have, Tielemans or a defender, and it's just not working out for them, then okay, you can move. But at least those three games coming up, Brentford, Palace and Everton, look like they are a good chance to give them and see how well they do or not.
Do you agree, Sam?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, you just have to be a little bit patient and the fixtures are there. So as hard as it is. And I think the other thing is that it's really important to remember that you cannot have everybody. And so the players that returned in game week one, the Haalands, the ones that you really want, they're not going to not return again. The likelihood is that they will return every week. It's just that you need your players that you have to match that. And I think that's the thing, is you go into it knowing that it's not just one player that will return, there's two or three or four of them that can do it. So as long as your players also continue to match, you're okay. And that's, I think, something that we really should remember, because it's very easy to go, oh yeah, but you know, this one got that. But if your player also does well, then you're all right.
Talking of other forwards, a word on Gyökeres and his debut for Arsenal and how you're feeling about him going forward, and whether eventually he could come on our radar, because let's not forget that was his first outing for Arsenal in the Premier League.
Yeah, it was tough, I think. He played an hour, which we expected. Šeško played only half an hour, which we expected as well for United. So if you were looking at them too, or if they're on your radar, on your watch list, you just need a little bit more. They need to adapt. They came from clubs that played very differently to both Arsenal and Manchester United. It's a new league. It's the new teammates. Everything is so new. So look at the fixtures. Wait maybe until you see, because for Arsenal, there would be no point bringing Gyökeres in, I think, for the Leeds game, considering they've got Liverpool away the following weekend. So that's
a tricky. Really good point, actually, for people that are panicking about Saka. Myself and Sam, I think, are in that camp. You need to look beyond just this game week.
Absolutely. Especially with Liverpool in game week three, it's quite mad. And then, but then you will have City not far behind either. But at least you know, Liverpool is there just around the corner. And for United and Šeško, it's a little bit the same. Cunha and Mbeumo look really good. So if you were tempted to go for one of them, they look great and could have scored on another day. They didn't, but you know exactly what they would bring to this United team. For Šeško, we just need to wait a little bit more. And for Ekitike, who is the other forward, the big arrival, you know, in the Premier League as a number nine, yes, this was good. This was against a Bournemouth team that had three new defenders out of the five, if you count the goalkeeper. So the goalkeeper, the left back, and one of the centre backs who were discovering the Premier League would never... Well, okay, Petrovic a little bit more, but Truffert and Diakite certainly, this was all new. He got a bit lucky on his goal, but Ekitike looked very good. Let's see where Newcastle on Monday night, which will be a very different game against a defence that is so used to the Premier League and one of the best in the Premier League. Let's see how he does on that. But it's true that those three new number nines, I think, look very appealing on paper. They just need a bit of time to know exactly, I think, where they're going and how quickly they can adapt.
I couldn't believe it watching that Liverpool game, Sam, as someone that doubled up on the Liverpool attack with Wirtz and Salah. I was like, I've just missed Ekitike. I held my hands up. I didn't even consider bringing him in.
See, I did consider it, but the uncertainty around whether Liverpool may or may not sign another striker just put enough element of doubt in my head that I thought, well, and I guess the transfer window is always a bit of a nightmare when it's open, when you're playing FPL, because obviously somebody can always come in and take the place of the player that you have in your team. So I like to go for players that are like 100% locks in their team, that even if somebody else comes in, they're really unlikely to lose their position. With Ekitike, because he's new to the club, because he's only young, because there's a lot of rumours around about Liverpool potentially signing other players this window, it was enough element of doubt to just kind of make me not want to go there. And I also think that I was finding it hard enough, Kels, making a decision between Mateta and João Pedro without adding another forward to the mix. Like, it was really difficult to pick that second forward. And it felt quite brave and quite risky to go with Mateta as it was. I didn't want to add another player to that mix, because I knew I was going to go with Watkins, and Guy was a lock because I needed him to be a lock financially for the rest of the team to be okay. So I think partly Ekitike and a lot of the forwards get overlooked because you're only have the three spaces. And so if you've only got three spaces for your forwards, it's actually quite difficult because you can't spread the wealth across the teams as much as you would like. So doubling up with Liverpool in attack from the midfield felt a lot more sensible going into game week one.
Ekitike has gone up, by the way. We mentioned Reinders going up. Ekitike has gone up as well. So he's 8.69. Chris Wood has gone up as well. So.
Yeah, there's a few players that have gone up. It always happens after game week one though, doesn't it? I also think for me, I was always kind of in the Jules camp of thinking, I think we're going to regret not having Haaland here. So I didn't want to overinvest. I kind of wanted a Watkins, one premium forward. And Watkins is tried and tested, wasn't he? And also, as I said, I doubled up elsewhere on the Liverpool attack. But with the way Liverpool play, it feels like in three or four game weeks' time, it could be Wirtz who is getting more points. You just don't know, do you? Anyway, lots to ponder from game week one, but we're going to look ahead a little bit now and we're going to go back to differential of the week. Julien Laurens, Samantha Bonfield, would you like to just gloss over and forget that game week one happened?
Yeah, particularly when we had a row about it last week.
My pick was going really well until very early on in the game.
Well, until they kicked off, your pick was going well.
I was going to say, yeah. Also, you fought over that pick.
I know.
It's just that one tooth missing for Crook, just like, yeah. When you go up north, it doesn't work for you.
There was more than that didn't work for Falkirk and West Ham on Saturday. Yeah. I'm sure you agree. Okay, so Jules went for Falkirk, who got 2 points. Sam, you got, to be fair, you were a little bit more unlucky in the end.
Whoa. How many points did Milinkovic get?
But he still got at least
how many points?
Two.
He got two points. Thank you very much.
But for a while, he was on for a lot more. Anyway.
For a while, rubbish.
Yeah, whatever. Rubbish start for both of you. You're in no position to be cocky about it, Jules, because you were awful too. Okay, Jules, did you come with one or two differentials this game week?
Absolutely one. Oh, but it's a good one this week. It's a good one. It can't be.
I bet it will. We think the same now.
Yeah, true. But my one is pretty Gakpo.
Oh, it's not the same. It's fine. Oh,
okay, good.
To be fair, I'm really glad you've brought him up, because talking of Liverpool attackers, he's someone we need to talk about. Brilliant preseason returns in game week one. We all ignored him. Sorry, Cody.
Yeah, completely. And I think he felt that, and he played with that kind of hunger of like, I'm going to show you everybody who plays FPL, especially Sam and Kelly, who ignored me completely, and Jules, to be fair, that I was worth it, because at 7.5, he's, if you look at Salah and Wirtz and Ekitike, I guess that the other ones that you could consider if you want a Liverpool attacking asset, he's the cheapest of them all. He's the lowest owned as well, 8.3% of the managers have him, so it's still not much if you compare to Ekitike 20+, Wirtz 20+, Salah obviously much more than that. But he was good against Bournemouth. He was good in a role as well that is not the main role. The main role is very much Wirtz, Salah, and then obviously Ekitike to be there to finish things. But Gakpo was good. He scored a goal. He got 7 points. His expected assist was 0.45, so he could easily have got more points with an assist as well. 7 touches in the box. He got created three chances, one big chance. And as we said, they play Newcastle away on Monday, which is not going to be easy, but Liverpool have that kind of momentum and Liverpool will attack regardless of who they play against anyway. So I think Gakpo, if you're happy to change something in your attacking kind of line, then I think at 7.5, you could probably easily go from one of your premiums to Gakpo and it could be interesting.
He's also quite a nice option if you are, even if maybe not for this game week, if you're thinking about how to get to Haaland as well, isn't he? Or like one of the other premiums at 7.5 million. That's a really nice price point. I like that one, Jules. Sam, who have you gone for?
Well, hopefully you'll like mine as well, Kels, because he's in your team.
He's probably not very good.
Yeah, he was probably rubbish in game week one.
He wasn't very good in game week one, right. But he does have a nice
picture in game
week two.
Could be one of a number of players. I'm trying to think of
Kelly's team. It's Morgan Rodgers. So Morgan Rodgers is 7 million. He's only owned by 9.7% of the game. I suspect that I might not be able to pick Morgan Rodgers again this season, because I suspect he'll do well in game week two and be more than 10% owned.
I hope so
too, for your sake. So Brentford conceded 5 shots on target or chances on target last week. Only Bournemouth, Arsenal and Burnley conceded more than that. They also conceded, as I mentioned earlier, 4 big chances, which was more than any other team in the league. They conceded the majority of their chances, 13, down their right. So only Liverpool and Palace conceded more down that side. That was their weaker flank. And on the left for Villa, you'll find Morgan Rodgers. So he'll definitely, as I mentioned, be higher than 10%. I think if it wasn't for that injury in pre-season, he would have been much more heavily owned. I think had it not been for that pre-season injury, I'd have had him in my team as well. But I do think he'll be a good pick alongside Watkins for this week. So he'll be one of those players that people will be on the fence with this week. They'll be either going, do I hold? Do I move? But I think with the fixture and the potential that they have and the weaknesses that we saw in the Brentford defence, Watkins and Rodgers could do well, but Rodgers will be my differential this week.
I'm sorry, but also if you're like me and you kept Morgan Rodgers despite that injury in pre-season, you kept him because you really like him, you can't get rid of him after one game week, can you? Because also, you know he's had a slight injury in pre-season, so the likelihood was he wasn't going to be at 100% in the first game week. That's the way I looked at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the same logic as the other players we mentioned. You need to give them time. They're very good players and Villa is a good team. It just didn't happen for them in that game against Newcastle. But it doesn't mean that they're just rubbish and you have to change everything.
Jules, when we mentioned, sorry, just on the Aston Villa theme, I realised we spoke about Konsa. I wondered if you could kind of suggest who you were thinking of as a replacement, because you won't be the only person that perhaps will have set their team up needing whoever Konsa now is going to become to play this game week, so you're going to have to make a move.
Yeah, so I went for Matt Gaethje at Crystal Palace. I know we're not really sure completely about the future, but you can address that later. They've got Forest at home, which is not an easy game, but Palace are just so well set up and so well organized that you can see them keeping another game without conceding a goal. Then it's Aston Villa and Sunderland. So I thought the fixtures look okay. To be fair, I had a few options there in that kind of price bracket of 4.5 that you could have gone. De Kuyper at Brighton was a decent
one. You've been talking about him all pre-season. I can't believe you didn't end up in the team.
I got him. Yeah, he's in my team.
Yeah, I really thought about him, and he's less owned than Gaethje. Only, I think, 7%, I think, for De Kuyper. It's 13% for Gaethje. I just thought with Gaethje, I've got a bit more certainties, and also Brighton will play City in game week 3. So I was a bit hesitant there, but I went for Gaethje even ahead of Chris Richards, for example. So yeah, let's see. But I just could not have kept Konsa on my bench for 3 games because my other defenders are just not good enough, really.
Sam, who would you say if you were having to make that move, who do you think is the best 4.5? Or because it is only one game week, but we have a little bit more information now and people are going to be need to making that move. Who would you be going for if you're in that position?
Do you know, I was just looking at the 4.5s, and let's just assume that most people have got Van de Ven already and they don't want him for this week against Man City anyway. De Kuyper I really like. I bought him in quite last minute. So I think he could be a really decent pick. I actually was quite impressed with Dorgu as well against Arsenal. That's a difficult fixture. Yeah. And I was quite impressed. And he had one off the post as well. So he's a decent option as well. Fixtures remain mixed, I think we'll say for Man United. But again, if you're into a rotating system, like if you've got Diouf, Dorgu rotates really nicely with him. So if you want to play the West Ham / Manchester United defences, then you could do that. Palace rotate really, really nicely with Spurs. So if you've got Mickey van der Ven in your team, then going for a Gaethje or a Richards also looks really nice. So I think them or Brighton with De Kuyper, they would be the ones that I would look at.
Okay, so moving on to transfers and captains, although I basically don't even need to say this. I did it so seamlessly, didn't I? I went straight into Jules' transfer. That's the one transfer. You're not taking a point set, are you?
No, that's just it. Yeah. For the rest, give some time and another chance to some players.
Yeah, it does feel like at this stage of the season, transfers should probably only be used as cases of emergency as such. So Sam, you're holding. You can't make a transfer now, can you, after you've not done Reinders?
No, absolutely not. And I think, you know, the only reason I make a transfer going into game week 1 is if somebody's been sent off. So if I had Konsa, I would do exactly what Jules has done, because you want to avoid a price drop. Or if somebody gets injured. And I've got through game week 1, nobody's got injured, nobody's got suspension. So we roll and we see how game week 2 pans out. I just feel like watching the games in game week 2, and game week 2 is horrible for most of the teams you've picked in game week 1, because it's so different to everything else. So yeah, I'm holding.
Okay, captains. Now, mine's on Salah, but I actually think it's a really difficult game week for captains. Do you agree, Sam?
Yeah, it's horrible this week, isn't it? It's like the captains that I would like to pick didn't play very well in game week 1. So then it's a case of, well, I'd quite fancy Palmer against West Ham on paper, but Palmer looks poor in game week 1. And he's got the opening fixture of game week 2. I hate that. Because then if they blank, you all get the
long
whole
weekend
till Monday night with a captaincy blank. So that's a problem. I quite like Watkins against Brentford. That's where I am at the moment.
Are you going to go through your whole team here? It feels like you're going to go through your whole team and then go, still not set.
No, so there's 3 for me in my team. There's Palmer, there's Watkins, and there's Salah. Same. I quite like Salah on Monday night, but I don't know. It's a difficult fixture. And Newcastle defensively were good. They were good against against Villa in game week 1. So I think I might go for Watkins. I think the way that he...
His former club
potentially,
too.
Yeah, I think the way that he could potentially exploit Brentford, I like that. So I think I'm going to go there. I wish I had an Arsenal player to hand the captain's armband to. But even then, I think I'd only feel secure if it was Saka. And even then, I'm not sure. Because actually Leeds, like, they look good on Monday night. I mean, I know they were playing Everton, but they didn't look terrible. They look really good. They got the win, kept a clean sheet. So yeah, I think I'm going Watkins, I think.
Does the fact that Salah is so popular and is likely to be the most captained kind of sway your thinking at all?
What make me more want to captain him?
Yeah, because I'll be honest, that's in the back of my mind, particularly early in the season.
Yeah, that there is a risk factor there for sure. If you go against the popular captains, then there's always a risk. But do I see, I guess it's a case of, well, all right, if Salah gets one goal like he did against Bournemouth on Friday last week, then I'll be able to cover that hopefully with what some other players in my team can do. It's only going to be if you go against somebody that's got like the perfect fixture and they're in really good form and they might hat trick, that's going to be hard to cover that. So I'm kind of hoping that I might get away with it. And it's a differential risky captain that's worth taking, because sometimes there are weeks where it's worth it, because like Haaland's got Spurs and Salah's got Newcastle. So neither of the two obvious captains with good fixtures. Palmer's next, but do you trust him this week?
Jules, you've got Saka. We're all jealous you're captaining him, aren't you?
Well, I've got Watkins and Saka in the back of my mind. Salah, I'm not sure against Newcastle. And I know Salah scored against Bournemouth. I just didn't like his game, which, you know, I had question marks over him going into the season anyway. And I thought for 90 odd minutes on Friday, I felt it again watching him play. I don't think he was his usual, but he still found a way of scoring and you know, got, I don't know how many points, 8 points or something like that. So it would be Saka or Watkins. And I'm not sure. I don't think Saka was that great against United like Arsenal. And again, I think Saka will need your carers to have adapted and to be good himself, which is not the case right now. So we'll see. And also, Arsenal might make a new signing very soon, which I think might impact. I'm sorry, I had to go there.
I was wondering if we were going to get through this pod without mentioning that.
No, because Eberechi Eze at 7.5 million would be a very good investment.
For those of you that aren't
whoever.
Watching this on YouTube that are listening to this podcast,
it's okay.
Sam's just gone bright red, head in hands, holiday ruined.
You've got Odegaard. It's okay, you've got Odegaard on.
Jules, for 2 years, the only player I've wanted us to sign. And now, not only is he not going to come to Spurs, he's going to go to Arsenal.
Guys, we've made it 40 minutes without it. We need to end the podcast.
Sorry. That might impact Saka. That was so lovely. So it would be between Watkins and Saka for my captain. I haven't decided yet.
Can we leave now?
Just go Saka. We can leave. Just let me do the housekeeping at the end. And the first
give
thing
me
we have...
E. Give me a Z. Give
him.
Me an E. Sorry.
It's the worst chant ever.
I don't know. It just came up in
Could
my head.
Could just see that catching on at the Emirates. Remember, guys, it is a Friday deadline. Oh, stop speaking, you guys. I'm saying some important stuff. The fact that it's a Friday deadline. Julian, Ron, you need to listen to me because you often forget when it's a Friday.
6:30 Friday night.
Yes, thank you very much. Also, remember, by the way, we're recording this on a Thursday morning. Depending on when you're listening to this, Crystal Palace could have already played in the Europa Conference League. That game is taking place on Thursday night. So just bear that in mind if you're listening beyond Thursday night into Friday. The Fantasy Show is also back on Friday morning. I've got Gianni joining me in the studio. That's available on the Premier League website and app. Off the Bench will be back on Tuesday. Sam's other half, Lee, will be joined by Az. They'll be talking through all the key talking points from Game Week 2. And as always, we'll be back next Thursday. I think now it's time for us to go. Good luck, guys. Bye.